And listen, I am convinced on the authority of Scripture and what He has done in my life that Jesus Christ is Lord God Almighty.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant's message this evening is taken from the book of Joshua, where is recounted a most unusual story about a most unlikely lady and the miraculous outcome of her uncommon faith. This story is about Rahab, a Gentile prostitute who played an important part in the victory that brought down the walls of Jericho and ended up in the genealogical line of Jesus Christ. Pastor Grant's message is entitled, From Ordinary to Extraordinary. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 2 and listen along with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message. Here now is Pastor Grant and From Ordinary to Extraordinary.
Myron was 9 years old, but he was convinced he was a great baseball player. So one day he picked up his ball and his baseball bat, and he went to the park with his sister. It was time for the first pitch. Myron shouted, "I am the greatest hitter in the world." He threw up the ball, he swung. It was a swing and a miss. His sister called out, "Strike one." It was time for ball two. Myron shouted out again, "I am the greatest hitter in the world." He threw the ball up in the air. He swung again. It was another miss. His sister said, "Strike two." Myron was not deterred. He threw the ball in the air one more time, and just before he threw the ball in the air, he shouted once again, "I am the greatest hitter in the world." And he swung and he missed. And his sister said, "Strike out, you're out, strike three." Myron shouted, "I am the greatest pitcher in the world." He was convinced he was something extraordinary. But you know, Ron Walters was the exact opposite. When Ron Walters, and this is a true story, Myron wasn't a true story, but Ron Walters is true. When Ron went to church, when he went to Sunday school, as he would grow up, he was just so turned off by some of the stories, because all these stories about people like Daniel in the lion's den and you know, David killing Goliath, he just felt, wow, these stories are not for people like me. I don't have that type of courage. And some of us, he was growing up in Sunday school, he wished that the Bible had more stories about ordinary Joes like him. But as Ron Walters got older, he started realizing that the stories in the Bible really were about ordinary Joes and Janes. He realized that it was ordinary people from the neighborhood, but folks who had decided to allow God to do extraordinary things through them. And this morning, I want to bring a message with you entitled From Ordinary to Extraordinary, because what God is trying to say to you young people and to those of us who are older, that He wants to move us from being ordinary to being extraordinary. Would you mind being extraordinary? You know, there is something people, most people don't want to be ordinary. If you were in class, you don't want to just be at the bottom of the pile. But sometimes as Christians, we are so satisfied with just getting by. I don't want to just be getting by. I want God to use me in an extraordinary way. And listen, that's what He wants to do in your life and in my life. I want to talk this morning about one of the most ordinary women in the Bible. I want to speak this morning about the story of Rahab. You know, Rahab is certainly one of the most ordinary people that you will ever come across in the Bible. Her social status was very low. She was not a person who got invited to career fairs. You see, nobody invited her. The school didn't invite her to the career fair because nobody wanted their children to follow her occupation. If you ask Rahab what her occupation was, I suspect she may say, I'm in the entertainment business. But entertainment business was a bit of a stretch, because as we read the Bible, we discover that Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a lady of the night. And amazingly, as we continue our story, you're going to see that this prostitute amazingly ended up in Hebrews 11, where the Bible lists the heroes of the faith. You will find that this ordinary harlot, as the Bible calls her, this harlot ends up being listed in the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. How did this woman move from the house of shame to the hall of fame? Somebody got to help us this morning. How did she move from being ordinary to extraordinary? And my friend, if God could move Rahab, this prostitute, if he could move her from ordinary to extraordinary, he can move you into something special. Somebody ought to say amen this morning. Let me share three things with you today. Number one, I want to point out to you, Rahab had confident faith. Rahab had confident faith. Joshua chapter 2, if you don't mind, I'm going to read the first two verses. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia. I'm so glad my father's name is not Nun. You ask, what's your daddy's name? Nun. Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. It was time for the Israelites to cross the Jordan and take possession of the land that God had promised to Abraham centuries before. And so here they were, and Joshua is now the leader. Moses was dead, and Joshua has decided that Jericho is a very strategic point, and he needs to take control of Jericho. And he sends two spies to cross the Jordan to go to Jericho, and the guys went over, and where in the world did they go? They went to Rahab's house. Have you ever stopped to wonder why in the world did these boys go to the house of shame? Why did they go to the house of ill repute? Why not go to the Holiday Inn or the Motel 6? After all, they leave the lights on for you. Listen, there might have been practical reasons for the choice. For one thing, men were always coming and going from Rahab's house. And so probably if you were another man, you wouldn't get quickly identified as a spy, because there was so much male traffic coming and going from Rahab's house. And, you know, it could also be that they knew that the men in places like that don't usually go spilling the beans. I've heard that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So for whatever reason, these guys, they decided, you can come up with your own reason as to why these men decided, of all the places in the world to go, why am I going to a house of prostitution? You might be surprised. I am convinced there was a much bigger reason. God's grace was at work. For as we'll soon see, Rahab had put her faith in God. I believe by the time they got there, all this traffic from men to that place had stopped, because Rahab had put her faith in God. And no wonder it was now so easy to figure some men are going there. Who are these men? You might be surprised that I would say that, but you'll see in the text, in a minute I'll show you from the text why I'm saying this. God was sending these spies to Rahab's house to rescue Rahab. You see, God had big plans for her. Now that Rahab, the prostitute, now that she had put faith in God, God had big plans for her. And some of you who know the story very well know that eventually Rahab would have a son by the name of, help me somebody, Boaz, and that Boaz would marry a woman by the name of Ruth. And listen, Rahab's name would be listed in three books of the New Testament. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Rahab the harlot, her name would be listed as one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ himself. Now, some commentators have a hard time believing that God would allow Jesus to come from a family that had ancestors who were prostitutes. So some Bible commentators have changed the story, and when they report on Rahab, they don't say she was a prostitute, they say she was an innkeeper. She ran a hotel. You see, they haven't come to grips. They fail to understand the extent of God's grace. But Hebrews 11 and James chapter 2, it uses a word, the Greek word that means prostitute. It uses the Greek word for prostitute when it refers to Rahab, because God wants us to know that his grace has no limit. Aren't you glad God's grace has no limit? His grace can reach from the uttermost to the guttermost, and it doesn't matter what you have done or where you have been. It doesn't matter your family history. It doesn't matter what you have done along the journey. I want you to know that God's grace is able to reach you and change you today. My friend, this message is for you.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Because God's grace wants to touch you this morning, no matter where you are and what you have done. This grace reaches from the outhouse to the White House, and there is never a sinner so far from God that but Jesus can bring him home. Aren't you glad for grace? But let's look at Rahab's confident faith here in Joshua chapter 2, verse number 8. Now, before they lay down, that's the men, the two spies, before the two spies lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of the king of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Listen, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above, and on earth beneath. Can you imagine Rahab, who lived in a culture that worshipped numerous gods, had come to the conclusion. Put this in your notes. Rahab had come to a new faith. She was now convinced that the Lord or Jehovah, the God of the Israelites, is the only God. She was convinced. And don't miss this. The Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Lord, as you see in your Bible there, or Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah of the Old Testament is the same Lord in the New Testament who was called Jesus after his incarnation. It was prophesied, you shall call his name what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Listen, don't get confused and wonder, does the Jehovah's Witnesses have something special? No, the Jehovah of that of the Bible is the, in the Old Testament is the same Jesus of the New Testament. The one who died for our sins. Now, I got to say something here. Because when we say that the only way to heaven is Jesus, it makes some people uncomfortable. In fact, even some who identify themselves, I know there are people who come to our church and they're uncomfortable when I say this, but my friend, I have to say this. You know, some folks who identify themselves as Christians no longer believe this. I did a little research and I found George Barna. I put out a survey recently and he indicates that 50% of millennials who identify themselves as Christians believe it's wrong to evangelize. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Young people, and for the generation wise and after, it's even worse. The percentage is even worse. We're in a generation where people who say, I am Christian, they're saying it is wrong to evangelize. Leave the people and let them enjoy. Listen, they have their religion. Let them keep their religion. But I want you to realize that's not very loving. You know, there was a famous TV preacher. I heard him say, I used to believe we should ask Muslims to accept Christ as Savior. He says, I don't believe that anymore. I've sensed the presence of God with Muslims, and I've come to believe that it's wrong to talk them into becoming a Christian. But listen, today, God is using Rahab's confident faith to remind us that the Lord is the only God. Amen? So young people, don't be afraid to share your faith with Jesus. Amen? Don't be afraid to point them to Jesus, because in John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man what? Comes to the Father but by me. Let me speak a little more to my young friends. Because it's important that you get this. You're not helping anybody by keeping this news as to who Jesus is to yourself. If Jesus, stay with me a second. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, we are left with only three possibilities. Number one, Jesus is an incredible liar. Because if he claims to be the only way to heaven, and he is not, it's one of the worst frauds ever perpetrated. But you know, very few people are going to tell you Jesus is a big liar. Well, probably he's not a liar, but probably he's a lunatic. Probably he's hallucinating. He really doesn't know who he is. He's just wandering around. He don't know who I am. So if he's not a liar, perhaps he's a lunatic. But my friend, if he's not a liar or a lunatic, we are left with only one other alternative, that what Jesus said he meant and he said was true, and therefore he is the Lord. He's either a liar, he's either a lunatic, or he is Lord. And listen, I am convinced on the authority of Scripture and what he has done in my life that Jesus Christ is Lord God Almighty. So my friend, if you're here this morning and you have a problem with this teaching, I encourage you to spend time in the Word of God. We're not afraid, I'm not afraid, that for those who have legitimate doubts and concerns. This is not a church. And listen, brothers and sisters, we have to be very patient. Just because we believe, we have been trained in the Scripture, we have to be very careful how much we pounce on those who don't believe what we believe. We have to have the patience of God and the guidance of God and the wisdom of God, young people, to show them from the Scriptures and from our life who Jesus is. Now, I have to say something there. I just said something as I ran ahead of myself. Where did this faith that Rahab had, where did it come from? Look with me in verse number 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you and what he did. Rahab came to faith in God without anybody saying a word. Rahab came to faith in God simply because of somebody's testimony, just from the testimony of what God had done for his people. And I'm here to tell you that your testimony does matter. Young person, how you live does matter. If you're always hanging around with the folks who are sinning and you're just a part of it, don't then Sunday after you're cursed all them dirty words and say, but Jesus loves you so much. You better make sure your life speaks well of Jesus. Amen? Make sure your life speaks well of Jesus because your testimony does matter. Amen. As a teenager, my faith, listen, if you're taking notes, put this down. She was new in the faith. Listen. Verse number 9. Let me not miss that. Verse number 9. And Rahab said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us. Oh my goodness. Oh, you know, Moses had sent out some spies 40 years years earlier. And you remember those spies, they didn't have confident faith in God. They said, oh no, we won't be. 10 of them said, we can't do it. Here is this pagan. And this pagan is saying, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Put this in your notes. Because of her faith, Rahab, she was new in the faith, but she was confident in God's ability. She was new in the faith, but she was confident in God's ability. Are you confident God can do it? You know, when I was a teenager, my faith was bolstered by people who had confident faith. And people like David Livingstone and Hudson Taylor and Judson, all these people. Hey, it's sometimes good to read some of these great stories about heroes of the faith, people who have gone on before and gave everything because they were so confident in God. People who God used to do extraordinary things. But today God is seeking a new generation. Young people, he's looking for a new generation. The Hudson Taylors and some are gone on. And today, listen good to me. Listen, young people, everybody in this room, listen good. God is looking for a new generation of individuals who will have such confident faith in God that they will be willing to say, God, use me. Here is my life. Take it and use it and do some marvelous, dramatic things through my life. And the God who used these incredible people of the past, he's able to do the same extraordinary thing through you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.